Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
News Radio 840 WHAS. Good Sunday morning. Bob Sekola, the Louisville Real Estate Show, here with you until the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. We've got a packed show. Let's get right to it. Joining us from the fabulous closing attorney's office of Limestone Title and Escrow, it's Lee Harris, who's legal counsel over there. And I will tell you, Limestone does a great job. We close a lot of loans over there. You can reach Lee and the folks over there at 649-7964. That is Lee's actual cell phone number. Also, in for Randy Rocky today, Ryan Cook over at Swan Financial. They do a fabulous job getting you approved for your loan. I just actually went through the process and still going through that process, and it's been very smooth. You can reach Ryan Cook at 502-408-0671. And if you're thinking of selling your home now or in the near future, this year, next year, I'd love to be able to talk to you and come out with a free, no obligation estimate. We talk about the process, what needs to be done, what's the home worth. I take my computer and we actually look at comparables online while we're there. So I will show you what your price is based on what we see. There's no hocus pocus. You'll see everything and I explain it. It'll take as much time as you want to review and talk about it. You can reach me anytime on my cell phone, 502-376-5483, or you can go to bobsellslouisville.com. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, six signs of structural damage to your home that you should never ignore. Let's start with a question for Lee Harris. These are questions that are coming in from you. Send me an email, bob@wesellouisville.com, and put your question in the subject line or the name of it, and then give me the question in the body of the email. This one comes in from Ken Lee. Sent this email with the following question. Can a real estate agent represent both the buyer and seller? Apparently, Ken is a real estate agent, and the offer he submitted for his client on a home was not chosen. And Ken says he found out that the listing agent, and we'll call her Carol for this show, went with another offer that was really listed by the listing agent, Carol. And he's wondering, how does he find out if the seller was presented all the offers? Lee, it's an interesting question, and it's a problem that we wonder sometimes as agents.
Great question, yes. So, yes, the first answer is an agent can represent a buyer and a seller on the same transaction as long as there is a disclosure and both parties sign off understanding what that means and that they're both agreeing to that dual representation. It's called limited dual agency, and it's legal under Kentucky law.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the question is, how would you find out if your offer was actually presented to the seller if the listing agent also had a buyer who was presenting an offer?
Mm-hmm.
There is actually a regulation which states that the listing agents should inform in any situation, whether they have a buyer or not, whenever they're presenting an offer, they should let the buyer's agent know your offer was presented today at 3:03 p.m. You know, they can send that email or text. That is actually not a common practice, even though it's in the regs. It's just not a common practice in the industry. However, you can find that information out. You can contact that Carol and say, you know, I'd like to see, you know, what time and how my offer was presented. And if she balks at that, you can say, but the reg says you're supposed to let me know that. So please let me have a written confirmation that my offer was actually presented. A lot of times the seller will actually reject it in writing, but they also could just let the offer expire if they like an offer better.
Yeah. And one of the things that we do, will, if an offer comes in, and I know we're giving you folks a little behind the scenes information here, but let's see, we're trying to be as transparent in our industry as humanly possible. And that would be, is that when I email an offer that comes in, I email it to my seller, and that email will be noticed in the outbox and I can show proof that it was sent to the seller. So at least that's one form of verifying that our sellers have been notified. And plus it's in our code to present all offers. So that's the other part of it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Let's move over to Ryan over at Swan Financial. Donna behind on her mortgage by 4 months. And in the email she sent me, she says she's offered to make partial payments to her mortgage company, but the mortgage company is refusing. And we're seeing more and more of these emails about getting behind on mortgages. She's wondering, why would they do that? She's trying to keep from going into foreclosure. So Ryan, any thoughts about, I know the answer, but I'm giving you the opportunity to respond first.
So for Donna, you know, if she has cash laying around, you know, that she can use saved up, she can probably, you know, offer to pay down to principal and probably get back right with the mortgage. Being 4 months late, that's about your only option to come out of that is if you can put a chunk of money down back at it. They typically won't take partial payments. You know, when you close on that mortgage, like Lee will tell you, that's a contractual agreement that you're going to pay these payments, and you know, they won't take the partials. Now, if you're not fully all the way 4 months, it's, you know, my recommendation is when you get to that point where you're close to being behind, go ahead and reach out to a mortgage officer, mortgage specialist, or us, and find a way to get out of that, get ahead of it before that happens. You know, if you're allowed to have one 30-day late in 12 months and still refinance, and, you know, maybe get a lower payment, and refinancing at least will save you, get you 2 months without having to make a payment. Anytime you refinance your home, you can usually get 1 month. Almost always you can set it up to get 2 months without having to make a payment. So if you're ready to be behind, I would say contact, get in touch with us. We can get you refinance to get you, save you 2 months to try to figure out what to do from there.
Quick thing, Donna, you can also do a loan modification. Lee, we've done many loan modifications in the past, and that basically starts a process where they tack on what you owe on the back end of the mortgage. Not sure it's the most economical way to go, but that is another option. You agree on that, Lee?
Yes. Anytime there's a foreclosure filed, there's going to be a loss mitigation department that's going to be dealing with that. And you can contact them and ask them to send you a loss mitigation package. And one of those things includes loan modification. And if they look at your documentation and you qualify for that, then it can modify the terms to something that you can afford. But again, as Bob said, you're tacking on more to the end there. So you're not actually getting forgiven this money. You're just getting out of a situation right now that maybe down the road you can refinance, or you can get back on your feet and keep your home.
Yeah. And one more thing you could think of is a short sale. We're certified to do these. We've done these many times back in 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. But just give me a call at 376-5483, and I'll be able to walk you through what the process is and decide if you want to, in fact, go that route. I should remind you that you can see a replay of this show by going to LouisvilleAnswers.com. That's LouisvilleAnswers.com. That's a redirect to our YouTube channel where this show will be residing for you to watch in its entirety. If you'd like to see what sellers are saying about us, we love our reviews. We love our clients. You can go to LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. LouisvilleZillow.com or LouisvilleGoogle.com. Back over to Lee Harris at Limestone Title and Escrow. Stefan has lived in his house 50 years, Lee, and has no plans to move. He has a new neighbor who just moved in to the property next to his. And the neighbor, I remember the 50-year mark here, the neighbor is telling Stefan that the fence on the neighbor's property is Stephen's fence is on his property, the new neighbor's property. In the email, he says the fence has not moved in 50 years. He's wondering, does he have to move it? Lee, what are your thoughts?
That's a great question. That's called adverse possession. And sometimes people are a little surprised to find out that, yes, in fact, you can claim someone else's land after 15 years. And the words are of open, continuous, hostile, adverse, and notorious encompassing of that land. Okay, so if no one has told him for the last 15 years or 15 years plus that fence has to be moved, or has sent him some kind of notice, or has done anything like that, and he's been openly having this fence encroaching, then he can do what's called claiming it by adverse possession. It doesn't just automatically happen. If the neighbor says, "Oh my gosh, no way," then they might have to get a judge to actually look at those facts. But the year length in Kentucky is 15 years. If you have permission to do it, mm-hmm. then it's a different story. But if you're taking it from someone and they're not doing anything to stop you for 15 years,
so Stefan's well beyond the 15-year mark with the 50 years in this thing. So I guess his next step would be to contact an attorney like you, Lee, to help with the whatever needs to. And we'll give out Lee's phone number again in just a couple of minutes. We're going
to
move on.
Happy to help, Stefan.
I know you will. I know. So just a quick reminder, if you want to sign up for our newest newsletter, we do a bi-monthly newsletter. You can send an email or just go to welovelouisville.com. Go to welovelouisville.com. That's where you can sign up for our newsletter. A lot of scams going on throughout our industries, and whether it's mortgage, real estate, or closing attorneys, and there's a lot of them out there. And Bill had written in and asked about what type of scams should he, as a potential home buyer, be aware of. This question just came in, and I wanted to bring this up because scams are prevalent in every industry. Lee and Ryan, in your estimation, what would you suggest to tell Bill to be leery of in the way of not getting scammed? And I think all of our listeners probably want to listen carefully, because you could be a victim very easily. There are very polished scammers out there. Lee, you want to go first? Maybe the one about wiring instructions. I think that's probably the most prevalent in your industry, right?
Absolutely. So if you are ever going to be giving wiring instructions, asking for wiring instructions, don't do that under some unsecured email. You're dealing with a title company. You will undoubtedly have a person who you're dealing with. If you ever get an email or anything about emailing information that is unsecure or emailing information in general, call your person. I know it sounds old school to say, oh my gosh, we have to pick up the phone and call someone. But in this instance, you want to use your phone for that purpose versus emailing and texting. You want to call your contact and say, did you just ask for this information? Is this secure how I'm sending it back? Because what the scammers are very adept at doing is faking an account or hacking into your email and getting that account number. And then they will divert that money. And you can imagine if you have just wired $500,000 for a home sale and it doesn't show up, mm-hmm. and it goes offshore to someone else's account because they've hacked into your email, that's not a good thing. And it's going to be very difficult to get it back, if at all. And so, yes, the scammers are one step ahead of us. So you got to be very vigilant.
Ryan, anything from your perspective, scams that you want to bring up?
Yeah, like Lee said, phone call. And they are getting very sophisticated these days. They're finding your boss's name, and they're finding your realtor's name, and finding the title company you're dealing with's name. And they're sending emails from all those people. I would say whenever you're going to wire a big amount of money for a real estate transaction, I would say just go to your bank and have your banker talk to the title agent and have them handle it. And that way, they're going to go through check all the boxes and dot all the T's to make sure that's a legitimate transaction. I would say take it a step further and just go to the bank and let your bank deal with it.
Also, I would also suggest scammers will demand payment up front before you get any services. This is whether it's in real estate or anything that you are potentially going to contract to do. That's illegal and a warning sign to avoid them. Scammers may also want you to pay by cashier check, wire transfer, or a mobile payment app. Scammers will like you to do it because it's very difficult to get your money back. And scammers may try to convince you to transfer the deed to your home to them. In certain instances, the deed is the legal document, of course, that provides and proves who owns the actual home. And if you transfer the deed, you're not likely to get it back. So these are things to be aware of. If anybody's asking you to do that, please, before you do anything, contact a real estate attorney or someone in the business who can direct you to the right people to confirm that this is legit. Okay. We're going to take a break. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, 6 signs of structural damage to your home that you should never ignore. And this is an important one, especially with the storms that we've had recently. This is going to be an eye-opener. So coming up, 6 signs of structural damage to your home you should never ignore. A reminder, if you'd like to see some of the interviews we've done with our clients who we have closed on their loans, you can go to LouisvilleSellersTalk.com. That's on our YouTube channel, LouisvilleSellersTalk.com. Continuing with us, we've got our dear friend Lee Harris over at Limestone Title and Escrow, and here is her direct cell phone number. She's a great asset to all of us as real estate agents in the Louisville area, 649-7964, and that's over at Limestone. And then Ryan Cook, who is in for Randy Rocky over at Swan Financial, Ryan's number is 502-408-0671. And if you're thinking of selling your home now or in the future, please do not hesitate. Give me a call after the show this week and I'll answer my phones. You can reach me at 376-5483 or go to bobsellslouisville.com. We're back in a moment on News Radio 840 WHAS.
This is Lee Harris, owner and attorney at Limestone Title and Escrow here in Louisville, Kentucky. We are an experienced team of processors and attorneys who will be happy to help you with your closing needs. We are known for our flexible closing times. We're open to nights and weekends, whatever suits you or your clients. We can help you provide a smooth and quick closing and help with difficult situations based upon our history of expertise and experience in closings. Call us anytime at 502-632-2277.
Welcome to the future of home ownership with Swan Financial. Here's Randy Rocky.
Say farewell to high mortgage rates with our game-changing solution, the Interest Rate Buster.
Listen to this.
We redefined the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, offering unprecedented rates between 5 and 6% APR for the entire loan duration.
For more information on how to get that loan, call Randy Rocky at Swan Financial at 502-645-0736. That's 645-0736. NMLS 26362 and 2473.
Shopping for a home? The place to start is RE/MAX Properties East. Experienced, caring, top producing agents who service all of Louisville and surrounding areas. On your computer or on your smartphone, head to homesinlouisville.com and sign into one of the most advanced home search sites in the country. That's homesinlouisville.com. Residential or commercial real estate, let the award-winning agents at RE/MAX Properties East help. Take the first step in your house hunting journey. Visit homesinlouisville.com or call 425-6000 today.
In today's real estate market, you want someone you can trust in the driver's seat. In Louisville, that's Bob and Greg Sokola.
Bob and son Greg have helped thousands of families just like yours turn challenges into solutions. They can give you a guaranteed sale, a custom marketing system to get your home sold on your timeline and for the most money, and they have an instant cash offer program.
You deserve the best there is. Bob and Greg, go to WeSellLouisville.com.
You'll be glad you did.
News Radio 840 WHS, Bob Sokola, the Louisville Real Estate Show, here with you, continuing to the top of the hour. Thank you, Barbara Corcoran, who is our mentor from Shark Tank fame. She's involved in a lot of things and a great lady, and I consider her a friend. And you can watch her on Shark Tank, of course, over on ABC TV and on CNBC. I think she's airing there as well. And continuing with us, Lee Harris, legal counsel, Limestone Title and Escrow. They do a great job of getting your loan closed. And you can reach Lee at 649-7964. Also in for Randy Rocky, Ryan Cook from Swan Financial. You can reach Ryan anytime on his cell phone. If you're thinking of getting a loan, if you're going to buy a home like I am, you want to check with Swan Financial. They'll do a great job for you. 502-408-0671 is Ryan's direct cell phone number. And if you're thinking of selling your home now or even buying a home, listen, we can help you. I can come out. We talk about what the process is, what you need to do or not do, any repairs. And then the most important thing is we look at what the comparables are in your neighborhood and see what other homes have sold for, so we can determine what your price is, because that's ultimately what is going to help sell your home the quickest and for the most money. You can reach me at 376-5483 or go to BobSellsLouisville.com. All right. These are six structural signs of damage to your home you should never ignore, and this may come as a shock to some of you. So first of all, sticking doors. During installation, a builder levels and shims the door to open and close, but if it starts sticking, there could be a problem with the home shifting. Cracked windows, glass window panes are one of the weakest elements and are prone to breaking on impact from not only misthrown balls or heavy hail, but in some situations, if the home starts shifting. Mud tubes, they may be inconspicuous, but they may not be the best thing for your home. You could have termites and other critters running around, so you want to keep an eye out for that. A bouncy floor may mean that the floors have weakened and you've got some underfoot problems, especially if you're sitting on a crawl space. You may want to check that out. Foundation cracks, concrete is exceptionally rigid, so the natural settling of the house often results in a few cracks, but over the years, it could get worse. So you want to keep an eye out on the outside and look for cracks on both the outside and inside that could create a problem for your house. And finally, keep an eye out for ceiling cracks. In modern homes, they're covered with drywall panels, and if the outside settles, there may be hairline cracks in the drywall or plaster. If you've got an older home, keep an eye on that. That could be a clear indication that you have a problem. All right, we go back to our questions. Let's go back over to Lee Harris over at Limestone Title. Cynthia owns a condo, and the condo association just increased the fees that owners pay by 10% without taking a vote. And Cynthia is wondering in this email, is that allowed, Lee? Does she have any recourse? 10%.
Well, 10% seems quite high. So typically speaking, if anybody has an HOA or a condo association, those are governed by the master deed, the bylaws, the rules and regulations. And most of those are set up, if they're set up properly, with a board of directors and everyone is a member and they're supposed to send out notices of meetings and everybody should have an equal share. Every house, every condo should have a vote, and they should put that out for you to be able to come and or send you a proxy so you can vote to say, do you want your dues to be raised by 10% if the correct number of people say no, then that vote would fail. It's usually somewhere 50% or 75%, depending on what your rules say. So it's likely that there was a meeting perhaps, or something happened that you didn't get notice of. So if that did occur, then you should be able to get the minutes of that and see what happened. If it did not occur, then it's probably not legitimate for the HOA to just be able to just raise fees willy-nilly without the input of the members, because the HOA is the members. It's the people who live there. So I would definitely check that out.
Good advice. And hopefully, Cynthia, that will help you. Back over to Ryan over at Swan Financial. Let's see, Mary, first-time home buyer, and she sent this question via email. She says, can I change my mind on buying a house after I signed all the documents at closing? Mary's wondering if there's a three-day first right of rescission, like there is, I guess, in a car purchase. I think there is a three-day on car purchases. Ryan and Lee, you may want to jump in there. Ryan, can you rescind?
Once that money is transferred over for that mortgage, there is no three-day rescission on the purchase. Now, on a refinance, when you're refinancing, they do give you a three-day right of rescission, but not on a home purchase.
Yeah, that on the refinancing or a home equity loan, right? Wouldn't that also apply on a home equity loan too? Yeah. So, yeah, you'll get a three-day first right or rescission, but not.
Now, when you are the first-time home buyer, you know, you are given that disclosure probably 8 times with here's what your payment is. Here's what your payment is. It's emailed to you several times. So they definitely, you've signed off on that house payment 4 or 5 times throughout that process. So typically it's not a surprise when you get to that closing table. You know, it does happen. Now, like Bob said, he'd be happy to list your house for you.
Yeah. If you want, right. Back over to Lee Harris Limestone. Title. George owns a home in Oldham County, and in this email he's writing in, he says that his property survey yesterday, he had it done. He says, in this email, George says, about an hour later, he watched in horror as his neighbor took the wooden stake and the metal pin out of the ground. Whoa. Okay, George, Lee, what should he do at this point? Because he's paid for this survey, which is typically not cheap, $400 or $500, and now the pin and stakes are gone.
Yes, that is definitely a problem. That would be considered trespassing if it is on his property, and that should be on his property if it's actually been pinned there by a licensed surveyor. They should know where that property line is, and if somebody's coming over and removing anything from your property, such as your lawn furniture or your pins, that's not legal to do. So the first thing, obviously, they sounds like they're probably not very neighborly, or he wouldn't have done that.
Sure.
So that might not work, but I would go over there and say, I just paid for that. You need to put that back because that shows my boundary line. If that, short of that, you know, if he is actually trespassing and this is going to cost him money or it's going to cost him headache or whatever, then of course the courts are always there to intervene in that type of thing. And there are damages for trespass for those who might want to go and take their neighbor's stakes and pins out. So my guess is it's probably because the neighbor doesn't like where the line ended up. He might have thought it was somewhere else. But yes, you definitely cannot do that. That would be like stealing your furniture.
He put a fence up 15 years ago. Yeah. You know, anybody buying a house and I'm in that corner, I'm thinking that I want to get a survey. I know we've gotten away from that, but I think typically we smart to get a survey so that we know where the property line is, a pinned survey. And that way, yeah, because we are not doing that. And I think that it would be a lot better off if we pin and stake it so we know where the lines are, right? Yeah.
It's absolutely a good idea to get a survey because there are lots of encroachments out there. There are lots of fences like Stefan's that are in the wrong spot. It could be in the newest neighborhood, the oldest neighborhood. You wouldn't believe how many things are a little bit off or whatever, but it's better to know that, particularly if you don't want your neighbor to be able to claim it later on down the line. And you want to get those things straightened out and also to know where your boundary lines are.
If you want to see a replay of this show, you can go to LouisvilleAnswers.com. That's a redirect to our YouTube channel, LouisvilleAnswers.com. And if you're thinking of selling, we have a free no-obligation booklet that has hundreds of useful tips. If you want a copy, simply send me an email, bob@wesellouisville.com. Put selling tips in the subject line. I'll send the information right out to you. All right, we go back over to Ryan over at Swan Financial. Patricia has been in her home for 30 years and says in this email that she paid off a mortgage, but she just discovered that it's still listed on her credit report as outstanding. And she is wondering, and Lee, you may want to jump on this one as well, she's wondering what is going on and what can be done to get it off her credit report. Ryan, you want to jump on that part of it?
So sometimes it takes a few, it could take up to 45 days to 60 days to for that stuff to get reported to the credit agency and for that stuff to be correct on your credit report from the mortgage servicer, whoever is servicing that loan for you. Mm-hmm. Now, if, after 45, 60 days, then I would probably reach out to whoever was servicing the loan. So the very last mortgage statement you got, find that and call the number on there and tell them, hey, this thing's paid off. It's still shown in my credit report. We need to get it off there. And they'll be able to take care of that for you.
What if it's longer? What if it's a couple of years and it's still on the credit report? What happened? Did the closing attorney not file it correctly?
Well, it sounds like the whoever was servicing the loan just never reported it to the credit agency. Now, if there were no late payments marked, then obviously they're not reporting derogatory, mm-hmm. Not missed payments for you. So, you know, if they're doing missed payments and they added 4 years of late payments on there, then you got a problem.
A real problem. Lee, any suggestions you want to jump in on that? Anything that should happen here with Patricia?
Yes, there is a statute that deals with it. So if you're trying to get a release and you can't get one, the thing to do is to send a written notice, you know, and mark on your calendar when you sent that. And if they don't get that done within the statutory time frame, which I think is somewhere between 30 and 60 days, then they can have the damages can start adding up, because that certainly can affect you. Say if you went to get another loan and it looks like you have a mortgage that you really don't have, etc. It's rare, but it does happen. You know, somebody at the servicer just drops the ball, or you know, they're transferred at that time and it just gets lost in the shuffle. But you certainly have the right to have your lien released, and always provide that written notice. And by written notice, I kind of mean an actual certified letter.
All right, final question here for Lee. Yep. Don wrote in with this email. My girlfriend and I worry. Let's see. Are getting back together or got back together after a short breakup last July of last year, started looking at homes. At the time, she had already applied for a loan in her name. When we found the house, she purchased it under the premise that we were moving in together and would be splitting everything 50-50, which includes mortgage, property tax, HOA dues, repairs, etc. That actually occurred. And now, 8 months later, we're going through a breakup, and now Don is wondering if he is entitled to any money that he put into the house or into the property, including items purchased for the house, repairs, and that he paid to improve the house. Any thoughts on that, Lee?
Sure. Yes, this is a very common question. I see Ryan smiling, too, because we get this a lot. Mm-hmm. The law protects people a lot more when they're married and they're breaking up. Then you have the courts that can say you got a settlement agreement. This is how much you get under the law. This is how much you get under the law. Unfortunately, when you're just living together and there's no official marriage, there isn't really anybody to break that tie for you. And so probably the person who's on title has a major upper hand against the person who doesn't. It's possible that when everything was hunky-dory, they signed an agreement saying we're going to split everything 50-50. And if I put in repairs, then I get those back as my, you know, sweat equity or whatever. That probably didn't happen, because when things are going well, you typically don't write them down with your significant other, right?
Right.
But it's going to be tougher for him to get his elbow grease out of that and his half payments and all that, because she actually is on title.
So beware, if you're planning on living together, folks, think ahead and put together some sort of agreement, hopefully through an attorney, that would help you in the event that things don't go the way you hope them to go, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You may have heard, we are out of time. My thanks to Ryan Cook, who subbed in for Randy Rocky over at Swan Financial. You can reach Ryan 502-408-0671. They do a great job of getting loans approved. That's Swan Financial. Lee Harris in from legal counsel from Limestone Title and Escrow, and she's a great source, and they do a great job of closing loans. You can reach Lee and her people at 649-7964. And if you're thinking of selling, I would love to come out and talk to you. Just give me a call. We can talk about the process, look at what the home's values are, what maybe you need to do or not do. It can save you a lot of money that way. And then list and sell if you'd like. But again, it's free and no obligation. Call me at 376-5483, or go to bobsellslouisville.com, fill out the form, hit submit, and I'll get it and get back in contact with you. Out of time, see you next Sunday on News Radio 840 WHAS.